This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Hamdan yaliku bi jalali wajhihi wa bi azim sultani. وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and we send peace and blessings on the best of His creation, the noble messenger, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to internalize the message that He has sent us and He has blessed us with, His kitab, the Quran, and to actualize it in our amal, in our actions, to act upon it. Ameen. So we have been covering Surah Al-Kahf, and last session we ended with ayah number 28, which was revealed on the occasion that some of the Quraysh leaders, particularly Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf, saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and wanted to sit with him, but he was in the companionship of his ashab, which included people who were considered poor and without any connections, and the fuqara of the time, who were not considered important, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, like Bilal, like Khabbab, like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and people like that, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. And they said, well, we will sit with you and we want to talk with you, but get rid of this riffraff that's with you, because it's not befitting our standards. And of course, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never do that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed immediately Quran to address that issue, but address us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should not look at the external worth of somebody, their wealth and their position, and be impressed, but look at what's inside them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that verse, He said, do not look, be patient with them in the company of the fuqara. Wasbir ala nafsik. Be in the presence of those who remember you, or who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave their characteristic, that these are people who are always in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuriduna wajah, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's countenance. They are purely looking only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything comes. The wajah of Allah means the essence, the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just that they were looking for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the hifz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protection or risk, but for Allah Himself, because with that comes everything else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and don't let your eyes go beyond these people to look at the zina, the decoration, the wealth of the other people, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whose hearts we have made completely ghafil, heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who follow their own hawa. Instead of following the huda, the guidance, they follow their own desires and their own inclinations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us that sometimes people who have been given, they get deluded as to thinking more of themselves. And this is the story that we are going to go into shortly, the story of the man with the two gardens. And we briefly talked about the fadail of the fuqara, and being poor itself is not a virtue, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from poverty. But it is a state in which a person is only in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So you can be poor and a disbeliever, which is the worst. You've gone from the dunya and the akhirah. But just the wealth itself is not what we are looking for. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and saying, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And don't follow those whose hearts we have made ghafil from the remembrance of Allah. One side is people who remember Allah morning and evening, means constantly. Allah says, be with them. On the other side is a lot of wealth, a lot of status, but completely heedless of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't follow them. عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ, who follow their hawa, and وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُوتًا, and whose affairs are in a state of complete loss, who have exceeded all bounds. So after this, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the next ayah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is ayah number 29. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهَ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. He tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, this is the truth from your Lord. Remember the background. They were asking, what is the truth about Ashabul Kahf? What is... Allah says, tell them, this is the truth. Okay? From your Lord. That story that we have told you about Ashabul Kahf, that is the truth. This entire Quran is the truth. What the messenger says is the truth. What comes from Allah. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ يُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Now, the choice is yours. Whoever wants can believe, and whoever wants can disbelieve. So what does that, first of all, is the challenge that you wanted the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed the truth to you. The book is the truth. And as the first ayah said, there is no deviation and crookedness in this book. The two ayahs ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the book cannot be changed. Means it's steady. It's not like, you know, were there three, were there five, or, you know, how the other scriptures keep changing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this cannot be changed. The kalimat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this has been recited to you by the messenger, the book, the truth. Now you have a limited free will, whether you believe in it or you don't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is telling us that we have a choice. We have a limited choice, okay? To believe or not to believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, you will not, illa man yasha Allah, except what Allah wills. So Allah is telling us it's not unlimited free will. There is above that, there is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you can choose is from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From his arada kawniya, when he created, from his creative will, that he gave us the choice. He could have made us like angels. You just do what you're supposed to. That's it. But he gave us the choice. So we have a limited free will. فَمَنْ شَاءَ يُؤْمِنْ, whoever wants can believe. And this free will is contingent and corresponds to the will that Allah has granted us. Now, when Allah wants to guide, He guides people. Okay, but sometimes in our aqeedah, some people have taken it as that only when Allah wills, I have no free will, I am majboor. Allah is a jabbar, I am majboor. Allah wills, you know, I'll do whatever. If Allah wants, I'll be good. If Allah wants, I'll be a believer. If Allah wants, I'll do my salah. Okay? But I am majboor. No, you're not majboor. You have a choice. And on the other side, there is an extreme view of some people that Allah has nothing to do with it. I can do whatever I want. That's one extreme. The people of Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah are in between that, yes, we have a limited free will, which is contingent and corresponds to Allah's will. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you make the choice. As he says, la ikraha fid deen. In other words, there is no compulsion in deen. You have the choice. And even where we hear things like Islam was spread by the sword. Even if somebody's holding a sword, you might say the words of Kalima, but in your heart you don't believe. That's not considered Iman. So Iman has to be your own free choice. Okay. Now, what is the tone of this? Allah saying, this is the truth, now you choose. The tone here is a warning. Okay, I'm giving you a choice, but this is the truth. In other words, if you don't choose correctly, then you will suffer the consequences of your wrong choice. So they said this is a tone of tahdeed, a warning, even though choice is given, that now you should use your aql, your rational power of rationalization, to make a sound rational decision, a sound rational choice of what is the right thing to do when this truth is in front of you. So we use our reason to come to accept the truth. But once we have accepted the truth, now we don't rationalize things. At that point, your aql becomes a protection of the revelation and the huda. That you take, you accept it, understand it, and you serve the revelation by what has come down from our ulama, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ulama of the salaf and the khalaf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying this, he says, "Inna a'tadna lil-zalimina naran ahata bihi suradiquha." Indeed, we have prepared for the zalim. Zalim, the ultimate zalim, is one who denies the truth, who does shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or says this is not the right revelation, or this is not the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we have prepared for the zalim, naran, the fire, ahata, that surrounds, encompasses, bihim suradiquha. Suradiquha means, is walls, means there will be walls of fire. Now just imagine that. Okay. Because now what is coming is some serious stuff Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about. That the person would be, if you're surrounded by walls, if you're surrounded by these walls and everything is locked, you can't escape anyway. Now imagine these walls made of fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُ يُغَاثُ. In other words, they will ask for help. When they ask for help, يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. How will help be provided for them? By water, what looks like water, drink. What kind of drink? كَالْمُهْلِ. Muhl is something that's heated to its maximum boiling point, where metals like copper and lead would melt and flow. If it is the excrements of blood and pus, because that's also part of the drinks, it's at the boiling point. But to what point? Yesh will wujuh. Because there's nothing to drink. Even that, the people of Jahannam will take to their mouth. When it comes near, the heat of that will burn their skin, so it will fall into it. Yesh will wujuh. It will fry their faces, just bringing it close to them. Bi'sa sharab. The worst of things to drink. Wasa'at murtafaqa. And what a terrible place of rest. Murtafaqa is where you get rest. Now that's, who can get rest in this place? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the serious punishment. So when we read ayats of this type, people who have a working relationship with the Quran, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, we seek Allah's protection. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Oh Allah, deliver us, protect us from the hellfire. We seek Allah's protection from this. Because this is not something figurative or abstract. This is real. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes serious punishments, and sometimes people who are not Muslims, and sometimes some of those people who identify themselves as secular Muslims, they say, well, why does Allah need to do? Why is the punishments like this? Well, these punishments are like this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you every single thing. And He has given you guidance in every way. And you still deny His ni'mah and His existence, then you deserve something. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call this person who is in the fire, who has the least punishment, one of the least punishment, and will ask him, if you could give all your wealth of the dunya and your family, your children, to save you from this, would you do that? He said, yes, Ya Allah, take it all, take my children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and I asked you for a lot less than that. All I asked you was to worship me without associating a partner. That's all I said. I didn't ask you for all your wealth. I didn't ask you for your children. I gave them to you. Now you're willing to give all of that up. And you were asked to do so little. And Allah didn't need your worship. Allah didn't need your ibadah. Now it's too late. So, those who are arrogant against the truth, who are deluded by their wealth and by their power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is the end. Now, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions things like this, the punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always balances it in the Quran with the opposite, with bashara, with good news. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to scare the daylights out of you, put you into paralytic fear that I can do nothing, I'm going to Jahannam, what to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always shows the other side of it. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُدِيُوا عَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed, those who have iman and who do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا First he puts it, indeed, we alone, us alone, will not allow their good deeds, the excellence of their deeds to go to waste. In other words, you will always be rewarded. Okay? So this is an encouragement for people not to end up in the hellfire, but to do this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a little description because He described some of the things of the Jahannam. He just describes the Jannah. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ أُولَٰئِكَ These are the people, lahum jannat, for whom, who are gardens, adn, that are everlasting, eternal. They don't come to an end. That will have a relevance in the next story that we are going to. Gardens that will never come to an end, min tahtihimul anhar, and under them will be rivers. Now, the interesting thing is, ulaik is for something ba'id, far. Okay? Now, why that they? Some of them have said because the ranks of these people who are going to Jannah are so high, so it's being saying, ulaik, those people up in the heavens. For them there is Jannah. What will happen? Yuhallawna fiha min asavira min dhahab. That they will be given jewelry, adorned with bracelets made of gold, special bracelets. Men and women, not just for women. In the dunya, gold bracelets are only for women. But over there are, and the bracelets over there are not going to be what you're going to find in Dubai. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed, okay, for the people. مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَيَلْبِسُونَ ثِيَابٌ خُدْرًا مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ And they will be dressed in garments made of special silk, green garments, made of special silk, sundus wa istabraq, woven, which is like what we call brocade. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some descriptions of it. And by the way, here the brocade is very heavy. You ask the brides, you know, their shoulders hurt when they're wearing their bridal clothes. At the end of the day, they're weighed down by the gold and silver. Over there, they're weightless. Okay, so you can have you could be wearing 70 layers of beautiful clothes, and those layers are not because of a winter outside. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ نِعْمَ الثَّوَابُ وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. They will be reclining on these canopied couches, and we don't know what those couches are going to look like, how beautiful they would be. And we've heard this in previous surahs from the Makkan surahs. نِعْمَ الثَّوَابُ, what a beautiful reward. وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا, what a beautiful resting place. سَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا, the other one, what a terrible place of a resting place. وَحَسُنَتْ, what a beautiful resting place. So now when we hear this in the Quran, what do we say? Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka. Ya Allah, we ask you for the jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma adkhalna al-jannata ma'al abrar. Oh Allah, enter us. So when you hear ayahs of jahannam or of threat, we always seek Allah's protection. And when we hear ayahs of Bashara and of Jannah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those who will be granted that.